I told you the story about the guy in the loading dock? I worked on the loading dock. That's what I must tell you. I worked in. We worked with these Shiva guys working on a loading deck. Imagine what good the Zachin are working down there on the loading deck, the summer job. So we're on this loading deck distributing government food programs, lunches, going into all the bad neighborhoods, really bad stuff. So there's this other company who was working on the loading dock, a bunch of truckers, everybody's name was Roy. So this guy walked into the office one night, and I see these two guys, they're schmoozing. I was a Yeshiva kid, and I'd been out, this is my first exposure to the real world. I was in there walking in the office, and these two guys are talking about 1 o'clock. We used to work all night. These guys smoking in Marlboro. Two guys are schmoozing. I'm getting a cup of coffee. I start schmoozing with the guys. One guy's saying, I know I was out with my girl the other day, and I broke her old man's nose. So I looked at the guy and said, "You broke your girlfriend's father's nose?" He was not her father, her husband. That's movies. That doesn't happen. That really happened. I just stayed away from the guy. Yeah, I realized that if his girlfriend's husband doesn't mean much to him, then the little Jew boy doesn't mean much to him either. I just stayed away from the guy. Yeah, a big burly truck driver. That was my introduction to the real world. The real world. Beautiful world out there. Really, really impressive. All right.
Love it.
552. We just finished Ches. We are Mishnah Tes. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Kibo Mehillah Mishamai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he received the tradition. Am I in an Ashkenaz or a Sephardic Siddur? Yeah, it should be on page 552. Mishnah Tes. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Kibo Mehillah Mishamai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received the tradition of Mehillah Mishamai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the leader of the Jewish people at the time of the second base of Mikdash. The Gemara says about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that no one ever saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai walk 4 amos without learning Torah. In the ancient world, how do you like that? In the ancient world, 4 amos is 6 feet. So it's a distance, right? In the ancient world, there was emphasis on memorization, what we call shinun. There's girsa. Because nowadays everything is printed. Not only everything is printed, you got everything on your palm. You can hit a palm and you got access to all the shots. I've got all the shots on my palm. Having it in your palm, in and out, you got to have it in your brain, right? But in the old days, they didn't have it printed. So there's a lot of time was spent. If you didn't have what to do, you just memorized. You're constantly memorizing because they didn't have everything written down before the oral Torah was written. So you had to memorize as much as you can. So no one ever saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai go 4 amos. In other words, you're waiting in line in the bank. So you went over and maybe it's like whenever you had time, you just kept memorizing. So no one ever saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai walk 4 amos without his lips moving. That's what the Gemara says. Number one. In the Gemara also says that no one ever greeted Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai first. He said good morning to everybody first. The Gemara says afilu akum b'shuk, afilu nochri b'shuk. Even a non-Jew in the marketplace, meaning the crudest, coarsest construction worker in the marketplace, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came by, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai greeted him first. Right? It means, if you stop and think about what that really means, what does it really mean? It's a fascinating insight into Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That means that on the one hand, you could imagine this is somebody who's extremely intense about his Torah learning. That guy is really into learning. Every minute he's got, every second he's got, he's sitting at the Shabbos table waiting for them to bring out the next course. He's memorizing. On the other hand, he is sensitive to people as well. That means Beinadam L'chavero is at as high a level as it could possibly be, and his Beinadam L'mokom is as high a level as it could possibly be. It's focused completely on God. On the other hand, he's focused on people as well. Sometimes people forget that. You have to be very careful that you don't let your mitzvah observance interfere with being nice to people. And sometimes people become inconsiderate in their headlong rush to please God. Right, they elbow everybody out of the way, right? And therefore you have to be very, very careful that your devotion should not be at anybody else's expense. Rabbi Yisrael Solandro was once walking in the month of Elul. Rabbi Yisrael Solandro once saw a man in the month of, when everybody says Slichos in the month of Elul. Elul is very intense. People, I think the Sephardim, anybody here Sephard, say for 40 days, right? Anybody here Nusach Sephard? Anybody Sephard here? No, nobody's Sephard here? Right? 40 days of Slichos, right? that's beautiful. Listen, 40 days getting up at 4:30 in the morning, I envy you. Rabbi Yisrael Solandro once was on the way to Shul and he saw a guy and he said to him, good morning, and the guy didn't answer him. He had a very stern face. He didn't answer. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said to somebody, listen, he's doing tshuva, therefore I don't get a good morning wish. And what's it got to do? Yeah, well, you're so wrapped up in yourself. Make sure that you keep your sight focused on other people. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as an introduction, because what he's going to say is going to be very important to know, was to keep in mind what he says, who he was, as a man who was always learning. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kilu mehilim l'shamai. He was a disciple of Botil and Shammai. And by the way, just to really depress you further, the Gemara said that Hillel had 80 disciples, and of his 80 disciples, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the least of them. He was the smallest in stature of the 80. And this is a man who never went for Amos without learning. Not only that, the Gemara in Megillah, just to depress you even further, the Gemara in Sukkah says, there's a list of things Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew. Did you ever see that? The list he knew? He knew this, he knew that. He knew all the Mishnahs and all the brides, everything, this, that, the other. He knew the conversations of trees. He knew the whisperings of the demons. He knew all these things that he knew. And on one of them, I don't remember, I think it's the conversations of trees. I'm not sure. One of them, Rashi says one comment. This is, now we're talking about an area of Torah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mastered. And Rashi says one thing about it. I don't know what this is. That's what Rashi says. Right? There's something that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mastered. Rashi doesn't even know what it is. And he mastered the whole field. Which gives you an idea of how big Torah is, because Rashi was big. Right? Rashi was so good, he learned Gemara without Rashi. Right? And imagine that. Right? That's how good Rashi was. Now, and Rashi, right? Rashi didn't have Rashi. Right? Yeah? And Rashi, you know, you can bet Rashi's a Rishon. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Tana. The gap between Rashi and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? So what was the gap between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Hillel? What was the gap between Hillel? Now, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was his greatest disciple? If Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, sorry, not Rabbi Yochanan, Hillel. If Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the least of his disciples, who was the greatest one of the 80? Who was the greatest one? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel. What we call Targum Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel was the greatest of the disciples. The Gemara says, when Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel would learn Torah, so the birds would burn up in the fire over where he learned. The fire generated, the ruchnias generated by Rabbi Yochanan ben Yonasan ben Uziel, the birds would burn up in the fire. Right, whatever that means. Right, I don't know if okay, time to go hunting. The bird's gonna drop it out of the sky. You know, I don't know what it means. The birds got up, but I mean, the Gemara said they burnt up in the fire. They burnt up in the fire. So one of the commentaries asks, well, if that's the disciple, if Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel is the disciple of Hillel, he burning up birds. So how great was Hillel? One of the commentaries says, so what was it? Was it, you know? I mean, if that's a Talmud, so what was the Rebbe? So one of the commentators says, you know what the difference was? Yonasan ben Uziel could only burn him up within four amos. Hillel had long-range artillery. Right? Hillel could burn him up outside of Dalet Amos. Right? You understand? You know, if the disciple's good, here comes the Rebbe. Look out, you know. Pick it up, guys. We better go. Here comes Hillel. You know, the birds start picking up the trajectory a little bit. Because here comes Hillel. That says Hillel could burn him up even higher. Right? Then one of the commentators says, to the contrary. To the contrary, the difference between the Rebbe and the Talmud is that the Rebbe could control his fire. The Talmud burns everything up. You know anything? Right? Burnt up. Okay, so that's one level. The next level is to be able to control and not burn things up. And that's even a higher level. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the least of all the Talmidim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kilu mehilim l'shamai. Excuse me. Hu hayomer. Im lamadata Torah harbe, if you've learned a lot of Torah, al tachazik tova la'atzmecha. How does he translate? Do not take credit for yourself. That's the plain translation. That's what you were created for. Now, first of all, it doesn't say im lamadata harbe Torah, by the way. It doesn't say if you learned a lot of Torah. It says if you learned Torah a lot. If you did, like, spend a lot of time learning, which is a wonderful thing, and you should pat yourself on the back, don't get carried away with how much credit you give yourself. Why? That's what you were created for. That means, what were you put in the world for? You were put in the world to use your mind, to use your intelligence, to focus on Torah. If you have nothing else to do, so you learn. We live in a society where if you have nothing else to do, you look for some form of entertainment. That wasn't the way a Jew was created. A Jew was created all through history. If a Jew came back from work at night, what did he do? When you finished what you were doing, what you had to do for Parnassah, you went straight to the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash was a second home. That's where a Jew found the satisfaction. That's where a Jew got the energy to carry on with the challenges of life. The Jew learns Torah. That's what a Jewish man is. That's what he says, I'm bored. You're bored? Oh, you mean you know all about Maseches Erevin? You mean you know all about Bava Kamma? You know, you got nothing, there's nothing to do right now. You mean you know it all. You've learned the whole thing. There's always another big, thick volume waiting on the shelf for you. And when you get through Shas, right, if you finish Bavli, there's always Yerushalmi. Right, and you finish Yerushalmi, you got all of Shulchan Aruch. And you finish that, go back to the beginning, because you probably don't remember any of it anyway. Right, so there's always more, there's always something waiting for you. And you don't have to wait till you get to the end of Shas to go to the beginning of Shas, by the way. You get it one page later. I don't want to embarrass myself or anybody else in the room, but if you ask me what's going on in the beginning of Cheska Sabbatin, right, which we spent the last 3 months on, all four pages of it, right, you know, I would have trouble telling you. Right, so exactly what have we been doing? You know, I'm not sure. Right, but hopefully, you know, hopefully it's had some effect. That's the nature of Torah. The nature of Torah is that, by the way, that is intentional. Also, the reason Torah is so difficult to remember, because when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, the first Luchos he broke. Originally, what would have happened is, Brent, you'd like this. Originally, he would have come down with the first Luchos. You'd learn Torah, and you just keep it all. And you just go right through everything you learn. You just accumulate. You're really good. You really get accumulated. You go on to the next thing. Baba Basra, go on. 176 daf. Go on. Let's bring it on. What's next? Right? You got some Baba Kama taken care of. Caught up all the, caught all those FFBs finally. You know, got it all taken care of. Right? We're on our way. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. When he broke the Luchos, there's a decree that forgetfulness is going to come to the world. And therefore, when you learn Torah, you got to review it. You got to review it. You got to review it. You got to read it over and over and over. And if you don't review it, you forget it. And if you do review it, you probably forget it too. But you forget it less quickly. That's why the Gemara says you cannot compare. Another remarkable statement. You have two Talmidim in the yeshiva. One reviews his learning 100 times, and one reviews it 101 times. The Gemara says you cannot compare the two. You cannot compare somebody who reviews his learning 100 times to somebody who reviews learning 101 times. Right? Very difficult statement. First of all, I don't know anybody. I mean, it's unlikely you're going to meet a whole lot of people who review anything 100 times. Review something 100, you know, 100 times is, right? If I review it 3 times, I'm a national hero, right? That's chazar, right? Did you do chazar? Yeah, I did chazar. Yeah, I went over it twice. I did chazar, right? 100 times. The people used to review and review and review and review. So why does it say that you can't compare the two? I mean, honestly, if you review something 100 times, A, you're going to know it really, really well, and B, somebody, if you review it one time, you're really not going to notice much difference in your level of knowledge between the 100th time and the 101st time. Well, I wouldn't say that in the Gemara, the extract, the Lashon of the Gemara, there's no comparison. Ain't no domes. There's no comparison between the two. Ain't no domi. Cannot compare somebody who reviews 100 times, somebody who reviews 101 times. And the answer is? Anybody know? What's the answer to that? How is it that you can't compare them? Do me a favor, open the window. Thanks. What does the Gemara mean you can't compare them? Why can't you compare them? Sounds pretty comparable to me. Why can't you compare them? Anybody? Because a guy who's reviewed it 100 times, 100 is always symbolic of a unit of completion. You did it 100 times and you stopped. That means, okay, I've taken care of it. Okay, I'm finished. 101 represents that, okay, I finished the first 100 times. Now I'm on to the 101st time. That means I've started a new cycle of 100. It's representative of not only qualitative understanding of the Gemara, of qualitative knowledge. It's representative of your attitude. My attitude is I'm never done reviewing. My attitude is I've got to review it another 100 times. You can't compare somebody who does 101 times with somebody who does 100 times because his entire attitude is different. And by the way, attitude is what generally creates, your attitude is what's going to create your mastery of the subject. Anything you're excited about, you remember that much better. Why is it that people are drunk with sports statistics? How can you remember sports statistics? My wife has asked me many times, how come you don't remember Tosos the way you remember sports? Right? There's a very good answer for it. I don't know Tosos, number one. They can't remember what you don't know. Number two, at the end of the day, this should interest me, but this does interest me. Right? And what interests you is that that makes an impression. That's why what you see on TV, pictures, visual images, leave a deeper impression. The deeper the impression, the more you're going to remember it. So when it comes to remembering Torah, the more excited you are about it, the more impression it's going to make, the more you're going to remember it. So the attitude of, I got to review it some more, means you're all excited about Torah. The more excited you are, the more of an impression it makes, the better you're going to remember it. There's a guy living in Israel around the turn of the century who was very poor. He only owned one volume. He was living in Tzfas, and he owned one volume of Shas. From one volume out of the entire Shas, he owned one volume. They used to print, in the old Shas, they used to print Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Beitza. They used to print them together in one volume. That's all he owned. So he reviewed them, and 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 he eventually chazered it 3,000 times. 3,000 times, Rosh Hashanah and Beis. So he had them right on his tombstone, you know, here lies Yankel Schwartz, who reviewed Rosh Hashanah and Beis 3,000 times. Right? That's what they wrote on the tombstone. Okay? Now, about a hundred, fast forward, a few years ago in Bnei Brak, there was a kid in a yeshiva, learning in a yeshiva, and he decided yeshiva's not for him. He was having a hard time. He dropped out of yeshiva, started wandering the streets with his friends. Fell in with the wrong friends, started wandering the streets. Right, left yeshiva, became a street kid. 6 months later, kid suddenly shows up to the yeshiva, sits down in the base medrash, and starts learning. And learning and learning and learning. Comes back a second day, learning and learning and learning. Right, third day, learning. Finally, the Rosh Yeshiva has been watching him. Comes over to the third day, he says, "Hey, Yitzi, what's going on here? You were here 6 months ago, you left, you were bitter, you didn't enjoy any of this, you left. You're learning like a house on fire. What happened?" He says, "Rebbe, I'll tell you the truth. We were on our way to, I was hanging around, we were in Yerushalayim and Ben Yehuda, we went to Tel Aviv, to Dizengoff, to Tanya, we made our way around the country, we're sleeping on beaches, and eventually we made our way up to Tzfas. We're in Tzfas, and one day we took a walk, we're walking through this ancient cemetery. And happened to look at a tombstone, the tombstone said, here lies Yankel Schwartz, who chazered Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Beis 3,000 times. I thought to myself, my goodness, there are people who really take this stuff seriously. If he took it seriously, I better take it seriously too. Right? I decided I'm going to redevote myself to it, and here I am, I'm never leaving. Right? That's what it means, the chazer, 3,000 times. The Gemara says, Rav Preda had a disciple. Rav Preda is held up as the classic Rebbe. The Gemara says, Rav Preda had a disciple who had difficulty understanding. He taught him, his disciple had difficulty understanding, he had to repeat every lesson 400 times. It's a lot. 400 times. Every lesson. Could you imagine that? Okay, so if he's been on the field for 3 years, it's a chazaka. Got it? I'm not sure. No, okay, can you get it? Yeah, okay, now look here. The guy bought a field from the other guy, and he'd been there for 3 years, and he makes a claim. He's got chazaka sheshi mataina. It's a chazaka. Clear? I mean, I get the chazaka part, but I don't get the taina part. And I got to go over 400 times, right? So one day, the Gemara says, everything. He taught him everything 400 times. One day, the Gemara says that they told her they were in the middle of learning, and they told Rav Preda that he's needed somewhere. So Rav Preda said, okay, finish with the disciple. 399, 400. Okay, got it clear? And he said, no, it's not clear. So Rav Preda said to him, what happened today that it's not clear? He says, from the moment they came and told you that you were needed for something, I have been able to concentrate. Right? So Rav Preda started all from the beginning, went over another 400 times. Right? So the Gemara says, this is the model Rebbe. There's a model Rebbe who's willing to sit there and explain 400 times. Weinbach once mentioned this Gemara, he said, the Gemara praises the Rebbe. But think about the Talmud. Right? You got to be willing to sit there 400 times and try to understand every piece of Gemara. Everyone sits there 800 times. Understand every 800 times. Right? That's what it takes to understand. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says, "Lamadat Torah harbe, al tachzik tov la'atzmek yilkach l'nisayin." That's what you're created for. You were created, you were put in this world to use your intellectual abilities to study Torah. They compare it to nobody would brag about any, nobody brags that he can breathe. See, I can breathe. Look at that. I'm a good breather. Right? You know, if somebody would start bragging, boasting about his breathing ability, you think, hey, this guy's pretty weird, right? He quotes from the Sosa Sharma talking about a bird. No bird brags about how he could fly. That's just something you do. Nobody brags about the fact that he could, well, look, I can walk. People brag about how they can run because that's the thing that you normally do. But people are like, wow, I can walk. Wow, that's really good. How long have you been doing that? Well, since I'm about 1 and a half. What about you? Wow, you know, that's tremendous. Nobody brags. That's natural. No reason to brag about your Torah ability because that's what you were created here for. So if you, that's what you're put here for. So if you've learned a lot of Torah, that's what you're meant to be doing. Wow, you know, I've spent my life working. Wow, everybody does. Right? Everybody works for a living. Right? It's like, imagine a guy bragging. My mother could never understand why Cal Ripken, they made such a big fuss over Cal Ripken, because he played whatever the amount of consecutive games, broke Lou Gehrig's record. He played in all those consecutive games. So my mother couldn't understand because she was a nurse. And she was a nurse, she worked the night shift, you know, nurses work hard. She said, I mean, so what? So the guy went to work every day, so what? Yeah, she couldn't understand what the big deal was. And then mom tried at shortstop, you know, and then you'll see what it's like. She somehow didn't do it for her. You know, she still felt that being a night and shift nurse was more, it was more difficult, right? At the end of the day, what are you bragging about? That's what you're meant to be doing. Same thing when it comes to learning theory. We're put here to learn. There's nothing to brag about. That's what we're meant to. You should feel good about yourself, feel good about your achievements. But on the other hand, don't, you know, keep it in proper perspective. Keep on going. That's what we're meant to be doing. Now, the other thing is like this. There's another twist on this, which is like this. Im lamadat Torah harbe al tachazik tova la'atzvecha. There's a Chazal say, ein tov ela Torah. There's no good. The ultimate good is what? The ultimate tov is Torah. Ein tov ela Torah. So im lamadat Torah harbe, if you learn a lot of Torah, al tachazik tova la'atzvecha. Do not keep the good to yourself. Which means that if you've learned Torah, be willing to share your Torah with other people. If you've learned Torah, there are people that, just having said that, in our day and age, you cannot be over-eager. Right? Sometimes Baal Tshuvas especially are over-eager to share their Torah with others. And sometimes people go off to yeshiva when they write letters home or they communicate, send emails, whatever it is, they are sending them Divrei Torah to parents who are probably disinterested. The last thing your father wants to hear about is Cheskas Gimel Shonim, right? Right now he's not really interested. He thinks you're a Mishuganer anyway, so he's not really interested in you. Oh, Dad, I'm not a Mishuganer. Listen to this. If you touch your hands to your eyes before you wash in the morning, you go blind. Right? Told you we're not a Mishuganer. You can ruin the whole thing. If you don't keep it in the proper, you can. So if there are people who need for your Torah learning, particularly in a situation in a yeshiva where there are people who may be weaker students and coming to you for help, I'll be willing to share your learning with others. Now, Mishnah Yud. Chamisha Talmidim Hayu L'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 disciples. Now, obviously, he had many more than 5 disciples. He had hundreds and thousands of disciples. But these are his 5 main disciples. The 5 main disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Eluhain, these are they. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. This is the famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus who went off to learn Torah. According to one opinion, his father was fabulously loaded. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' father was fabulously loaded, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was the heir to a major estate. His father was one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, according to one opinion, was 22 years old. There's another opinion he was 28 years old. And his father came out to the field and saw him crying out in the field instead of plowing in the field. His father said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I want to go off and learn Torah." He said, "You can't start learning Torah. It's too late." Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus cried and cried and cried. Eventually he left home. His father disowned him. And he went off to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's yeshiva. And he learned and learned and learned and learned and learned. And then one day his father came to the yeshiva years later. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw his father, he told Rabbi Eliezer to get up and give a drasha. And Rabbi Eliezer gave up and gave a drasha, which lasted 54 chapters. Right? Oh, it's a long drasha. Right? We have a medrash called, have you ever heard of the medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer? Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer was the drasha. And of course, at the end of the drasha, his father comes over and Yochanan like says, "Oh, by the way, this is your son." He says, "Wow!" And he cut out everybody else out of the Yerusha, gave all the money to Eliezer. They had a happy ending, right? But he gave a drasha, which is called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the earliest midrashic source that we have, called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. He's otherwise known as Rabbi Eliezer Hagodol, the great Rabbi Eliezer. He gave a drasha. I mean, if you look at this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, I'm assuming this drasha had to have taken about 6 hours. It had to have been at least a 6-hour drasha, right? When you look at 54 chapters of, I mean, maybe 4.
What was he discussing?
Maybe he's going through a lot of chumash. A lot of the midrasha that you commonly hear in chumash, a lot of that comes from this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. He's darshaning psukim. A lot of it comes out of this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The medrash that says that in the end of days, before Mashiach comes, we're going to be tormented by the Yishmaelites. Right before Mashiach, the source is Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. A lot of famous statements come out of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm assuming, you know, can you imagine you get a shul on a Shabbos morning and the rabbi gets up to start talking, right? And you know, you're sitting back waiting for 20 minutes for a 20-minute snooze. You know, he goes on for 4.5 hours. Like, that just wasn't quite what I was planning. Right? They gave it the old days when they gave a drasha. They gave a drasha. Yeah, 54 chapters of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. He's called Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. He was a Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. And this is the famous Rabbi Eliezer that in the Gemara was the one who argued with the other Chachamim. Remember the case of the Gemara where he said, if the halacha is like me, the river will flow backwards. This is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Right? This is the famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah is the second one. This is the famous Rabbi Yoshua who was a Levi. He is the one who went to Rome to rescue Jewish children who had gone off into who had been taken captured to retire in the second base of Mikdash. We had a repeat of it in history where Rabbi Herzog, Chief Rabbi Herzog, was a Levi. He also went to rescue Holocaust orphans after the war. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. These are the famous disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is the most enchanting of them, because Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, we are going to find, he's going to mention him as being the most brilliant of the group. We'll see. And eventually Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, we don't hear from him anymore. We have one statement from him in Pirkei Avos, we don't hear from him anymore in Shas, because he eventually left the other Chachamim. He left Yavne, which is where the other Chachamim were, and he went off to a resort town where things were more comfortable. At his wife's suggestion, they go off to this resort town. They went off to the resort town, and he lost his Torah scholarship. As a result of wanting to live in comfort and luxury, he lost. He did not go off the derech like Acher did. He did not become a heretic like Acher, but he lost all the Torah knowledge. Who are Yamona Shibchan? Mitzvah Yudal. Who are Yamona Shibchan? He used to say their praises. Okay, well, this will continue next time. Rosh Hashanah.
Jonas and Jonas and Jonas Hill, who you said was the greatest example of the Hamlet, correct?